This is lesson number 9 on the doctrine of heaven, or analogy. And we finish in just a few minutes here the study on the third heaven. And then after the third heaven, we will finish the study in probably a few more lessons on the new heaven, and the new Jerusalem, which we will start in this lesson. So here in Revelation chapter number 20, in the Bible, if you have your Bible open, I want you to notice in verse number 1, it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven." Now that is from the third heaven. As we've been saying all along, the Bible says there's three heavens, the atmosphere, number 1, birds, the clouds, the air. There's the second heaven, the constellations, the stars, the galaxies, the black holes. And then there's a third heaven, and that's where God exists right now and sits on a throne, and Jesus Christ by his right hand, and all the other things that we have learned in the previous lessons as we have studied Isaiah's vision of the third heaven, as we've studied Paul's vision of the third heaven, and then the major vision which was given to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Now this is it right here for the third heaven. This is about the last event that will be in the third heaven someday, and that's those of us that have been saved and either resurrected or raptured off of this earth to the third heaven, or died and gone to heaven, all of your loved ones. We have studied everything I could find in the Bible about what the third heaven is like, as well as future events that we will witness while we're in the third heaven, according to John's prophecy. And this is the last event we will witness in the third heaven before it is destroyed. It says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven." I think we'll see this happen. Now, we might not see what's going on earth from verse 2 on, but we will see this angel come down from the third heaven, because that's where we will be. Now, notice he has the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon. Now, this is down on earth, because the dragon has been thrown out of heaven back in Revelation 12. And now here in 20, this angel leaves the third heaven, binds the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. So that's about it for the third heaven. Look at your notes here. So another angel comes down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. He lays hold on Satan and bounds him with a great chain and casts him into the bottomless pit, where he stays for 1,000 years. This seems to be the last sight that originates from the third heaven. Now, the rest of John's vision in Revelation 20 and verse 4 through 10 takes place on earth, until we get to chapter 20 and verses 11 through 15. We don't know where this takes place. But these verses describe the great white throne judgment of the sinners before God. This event doesn't seem to take place in either heaven or earth. So let's read this now in verses 11 through 15. Chapter 20. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it." Now notice these words: "From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Now this is a prophecy that we are going to look at in a couple other books in the Bible, and we'll try to make sense out of this. But I don't know where the great white throne judgment is going to take place. I always thought it was going to take place in heaven, but the Bible says here the earth and the heaven fled away. from this great white throne. This event doesn't seem to take place in either heaven or earth. This seems to be when chapter 21 and verse 1 takes place. What does that say? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, by first heaven, that means the one that the first of the two heavens that God lives in, and we will also. Now, the phrase here, fled away, back in verse 11 of chapter 20, it says, "At from whose face," that's from God's face, "the earth and the heaven fled away." This word fled here means to seek safety by flight, to escape safely out of danger, to flee something abhorrent, or to vanish. And this will probably be the end of the third heaven, as we're going to see several other portions of Scripture that says the third heaven is not going to exist forever. So in other words, if you died today and went to heaven, it would be glorious. It'd be a glorious place, but it is not going to last forever. There is going to be a new heaven. For instance, as we've gone through Revelation and John's vision of heaven, we have seen 9 mentions of the temple in heaven. Revelation 7, 15, 11, 19, 14, 15, 14, 17, 15, verses 5 through 6 and verse 8, 16, verses 1 and 17. 9 times it speaks about the temple in what we call today the third heaven. But notice in Revelation 21 and verse number 22, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." So the third heaven that we go to today, if we were to die, is not the one that's going to exist forever. But when we get there, it's going to be glorious. There's going to be the temple there and all the things we saw, the throne of God, and God like clear as crystal, and an emerald rainbow, and all those multitudes of angels, and pre-tribulational saints, and those that came out of the tribulation, innumerable angels, and all those things we've described to this point are going to be in the third heaven. But that third heaven is going to be taken away, and the new heaven is going to be different. There is going to be no temple there. No temple there, for the Lord himself is going to be the temple. The temple is going to be the Lord. The temple is going to be the people, not the building. It kind of reminds me of some words Jesus said when he walked the earth. In John 2 and verse 19, he said this, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Okay, so they were confused. They thought the temple was a building. No, he said the temple of his body. What is the temple today in this dispensation that we live in? It says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just trying to give you just one example that shows that the third heaven, where many of your loved ones are today, is not the eternal heaven. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And I believe here is the last event, chapter 20 and verse 1, where we know anything that's going to happen in that third heaven. And then this great white throne judgment is going to be so awesome and so horrific that the earth and the heaven are going to flee away. And I don't know where this is going to take place, but there are all the dead, those that have never been saved, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will be cast into a lake of fire. And at this great white throne, nobody who stands there makes it. It's too late. It's horrific. It is so horrific. Verse 11 says that the earth and the heaven are going to flee away from this event. So anyways, the heaven that we know now, that you went, if you died today and you went to now, is not going to exist forever. I'm trying to accurately portray the Bible here as we study Orenology, the doctrine of heaven. Now let's look at the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, rather. There will be a new earth, too. So the new heaven, the new Jerusalem, the new earth. And let's look at a couple prophecies about this. First of all, what did Peter say? 2 Peter 3, verses 9 through 13, he said this, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night," now notice this, "in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Now, what is this promise Peter's talking about? This promise was given twice by the same man, Isaiah, in Isaiah 65 and verse 17 and Isaiah 66 and verse 22. So Peter is just simply quoting in the New Testament two Old Testament prophecies. The three heavens are dissolved and melted with a fervent heat and a great noise. This is the fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah about 700 years before Christ. Let's read them. Isaiah 65 verse 17 says this, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." So notice the prophecy. I create new heavens and a new earth. Isaiah 66, 22. "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." And so God prophesied twice that he's going to make and create new heavens and a new earth, and he will make them. Now, these are glorious promises that we have here. Even though the current third heaven would be so glorious to go to, I mean, if you die today, the Bible says to depart and be with Christ is far better. It's far better. In fact, let me read for you in the book of Philippians, and chapter 1, it says in verse number 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is," what? "Gain." All right? It's gain. It's not a loss. It's gain. And then he goes on in verse 23, he says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Which is far better. So, Paul here in Philippians describes going to heaven, dying as gain, and being far better. But keep in mind, the third heaven is a contaminated place. It is a contaminated place today. And it has been contaminated by the devil and the demons. Look back at Revelation 12, if you're still in Revelation, and we read this a couple weeks ago, when we were talking about Orenology, the doctrine of heaven, and it says this is going to take place in heaven. So imagine you're up there, you die, you go to heaven, you're with the Lord, and all of a sudden this happens. Let me read it. Verse 7, "And there was war in heaven." I know that's not our concept of heaven, but that's why we're studying doctrine. "There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now, this is a prophecy about the future. This is not something that happened in the past. This is a prophecy about the future. Some people say, well, this happened before the creation. No, no, no. Look at what it says over in verse number, start at 11. And they overcame, or verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. So if this war in heaven happened before creation, then how could he be in heaven accusing the brethren? No, that's what he does. He has access to heaven all the time. The book of Job, it says Satan appeared before God in heaven. And God said, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth? And Satan began to argue with God in heaven about Job. And said, yeah, you put a hedge of protection about him. You take that down, he'll curse you. And God said, go ahead and try him. So Satan came back to earth, and then it says in Job 2, and on another day, Satan was back in heaven, talking about Job again. And says, yeah, let me touch his flesh, and then we'll get him. Go back. And so he went back. And so he has this access. And here, this is going to be the most horrific war, I think, in all of history. If you can imagine the devil and how powerful he is and how he summons every single one of his demons to heaven to fight. And it says in verse number 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old dirt serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his devils, or his angels rather, were cast out with him. That's referring to the demons. And then the accuser of our brethren, verse 10, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night forever. And they overcame him, that is, the believers, the brethren, overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So, as wonderful as heaven is, and it's far better to live there than it is on earth, there are some things that go on in heaven. Now, notice in our notes here, it says, even though the third heaven would be glorious to go to, it has been contaminated by the devil and demons, and God has to humble himself to look upon it. In Psalm 113, verse 6, it says this, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. Verse 5 says, who is like the Lord our God who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things which are in heaven and the earth. Now, can you imagine how much more he has to humble himself to behold the things on earth where all of us sinners live? But it says he has to humble himself just to look around the current third heaven, as glorious as it is to us. Job, in his insight about heaven, said this in Job 15 and verse 15, behold, he putteth no trust in his saints, yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. The heavens are not clean in his sight. Now then, with that in mind, we can understand why they're going to melt with a fervent heat, why they're going to be destroyed, and everything. And then he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Now, let's go back and read what Peter and Isaiah just promised about the new heaven. Do not confuse this with the third heaven. This is the new heaven. Look at 2 Peter 9:13, the last part. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. And this is going to be a place where only righteousness is going to dwell. This new heaven will never be contaminated by sin or by a sinner or by a demon or by the devil. There will never be any unrighteousness in the new heavens and the new earth. All the devil, the beast, the false prophet, every lost sinner that has died without Christ has previously to this been cast into a lake of fire, and they will never ever be able to be near the new heavens and the new earth. So we see, first of all, that therein dwelleth righteousness. Now look at Isaiah. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And notice something else that's different about this new heaven than about the third heaven. What is it? The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Divine amnesia. Praise God. Now, if we die today and we went to heaven, I believe there's a lot of sorrow in heaven, a lot of crying in heaven, a lot of regrets in heaven, a lot of brothers and sisters and saints who are up there right now in remorse thinking, I should have served God while I walked on earth. And it's going to be a while here before we get into the scriptures where we see where God is finally going to wipe all tears from our eyes. But as for the 7 years of tribulation on earth, and as for the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and as for the great white throne judgment, I think many of us are going to spend a lot of time in remorse and regrets and tears and sorrow that we did not serve our Lord more. Still going to be a great place to be, but the Bible talks about suffering loss in heaven over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. It says in verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved so as by fire. The Bible talks about rewards and things that we could have stored up in heaven that maybe we didn't. Or we did have some rewards, but we lost those rewards by taking the glory ourselves or quitting, going back to the world. And imagine being Demas, for instance, today in the third heaven, where Paul said about Demas, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Okay? Imagine that. Now, he's in heaven. He's saved. Saul's in heaven. I was reading about King Saul yesterday. Samuel said to King Saul, he said, you're going to be with me tomorrow. And then Saul died in the war. And so Saul, just think about him and just think about so many others, maybe even ourselves. But praise God, there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. And it says, the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. When we get through this tribulation, we get through this millennium and the new heaven and the new earth, God is going to give us divine amnesia. And this earth and this life will never be remembered. It will never come into our minds what we did here in sin or for ourselves. Now, what will be remembered? Well, the Bible's clear about this. In 1 John 2:2 and verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now listen, and the world passeth away. We read that. Divine, the melting with a fervent heat, the elements shall be dissolved. And it says, because of that, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation? And the lust thereof. A lot of people living for lust today. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So Isaiah says, the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. That is, the things that were done in the world and in the lust thereof, all that's going to pass away. But whatever is done in the will of God will be remembered forever. That will abide forever. God has promised. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the only things that will be remembered in the new heaven is what we did for the Lord Jesus Christ in a right spirit and in a right motive. That's all it's going to be remembered. Maybe prayer time, maybe leading souls to Christ, maybe our Christian service to our brothers and sisters in the Lord or to the little children, and whatever we did for God with a right motive and we did in the will of God, that'll be remembered. That will be remembered. But the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. The past is forgotten. Only what was done in the will of God will be remembered. Now notice the third promise here. We saw Peter's promise that only righteousness is going to dwell in the new heavens. We saw the next promise of Isaiah that the former things of this life shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Those things that we think sometimes are so important now won't even be remembered, so be careful. Now here's another good one right here, Isaiah 66:22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. This is what we call the eternal security of the true believer in Jesus Christ. Your seed and your name remain. Those that you lead to Christ, and those of you that are saved, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's going to remain. That's going to remain. So thank God. So we see the importance here then of trying to win souls, trying to take others to heaven with us. So shall your seed and your name remain. Just, he said, as the new heavens and the new earth, I promise you, God's saying here, I'm going to preserve them forever. So I will also preserve your seed and your name forever. So get busy trying to win souls. Get busy trying to lead people to Christ. That's what's eternal. That's what's eternal. What glorious promises we have. Now, we just have a little bit of time to get started on the new heavens and the new earth. So let's look at Revelation 21. New heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem. And let's just see some things here. So the third heaven's passed away. We've been preserved. The great white throne judgment has taken place. They've been cast into the lake of fire. It says, and I saw a new heaven, verse 1, and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. So the first thing, we'll just go through a couple things here today. The first thing is what? There's no more sea. Now, I don't know why. I've been looking through commentaries and so on and so forth. I don't know why. That's one of the first things we're told, but maybe some of you theologians can tell me or something. It just says there's no more sea. So, whatever. There's no more sea. Now, there is a fountain of water and a river of water. And in verse 6, it says that. It says, I will give him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And one of these verses says there's a river of water. I got the text wrong on your notes there, but you can go down through. Oh, yeah, chapter, that should say 22 and verse 1. 21 and 1 talks about, or 21 and verse 6 talks about the fountain of water. 22 verse 1 talks about the pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. So I don't know why there's no sea, but there is none. All right, next, the New Jerusalem, a city prepared by Christ for his bride, will be seen coming down from the new heaven to the new earth. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I believe this is the fulfillment of the prophecy Jesus made back in John 14. When he said these words, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And we're going to be amazed, I think you will. Well, some of you already know this stuff, but at the details we get in the next two chapters about this city and what it's like. And it's amazing. It's not something, it's something being prepared now. I tell you, just on my street there, Grove Street, last fall and already this spring, they brought in these homes in two sections. They made them somewhere else, and then they wheeled them in on these big trailers, and now they put them up, and they're big, huge homes. And that's kind of what's going on here. Jesus is building a home for us that has many mansions in it, and that's going to be transported someday from the new heaven down to the new earth, so that his bride, which is, his bride is comprised of every single person who has become a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, so his bride can have a place for him to live in. And this will be called the New Jerusalem. So it's the new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. Everything's new. Look at verse 5. Behold, I make all things new. Everything's going to be new and incorruptible and incapable of fading away, as Peter said in First Peter chapter 1, I think it's verse 5, but I'm not sure. Now, three times the city is prefixed by the word holy. In chapter 21 and verse 2, it says, and I saw the holy city. 21 and verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. And 22 and verse 8 says this, and I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down. Whoops, that's the wrong verse, isn't it? We're going to put this into a booklet form and get these things all right as we make corrections. But it does talk about the holy city again here. And I can't find it. Okay. But three times we have the city referred to by the prefix holy. The holy city, the holy Jerusalem. Holy, holy, holy. And I don't think that's a coincidence either. The thrice holy God speaks about the thrice holy city that he is going to dwell in. And so I think we're going to end there. Well, let's look at verse 3 now. Why is it so holy? I remember we read in Job where the current heaven is unclean in his eyes. The current heaven, he has to humble himself just to look at it. But not this one. He's going to dwell in this one himself. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And so we have got this wonderful place to look forward to. And I hope that there will be a remembrance of some things from your life on earth in that new heaven. I believe everything Art Cole has ever done in sin will be forgotten and remembered no more. Every day, every year, every month I wasted living for self will be forgotten and remembered no more. But anything I did in the will of God, God will keep a record of it. And he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now everybody's name is going to remain. All right? I mean, even these people, sometimes you lead someone to Jesus Christ. I think six times I've led someone to Christ on deathbeds where within the 24 hours later they went to heaven. They didn't get to do much for God if they did anything, but I believe their name is going to be there. Their name is going to remain forever, and they'll be there forever. But in that book of life, God's also writing down the works that we've done for him, with him, in a right motive, not to be seen of men. And whatever we have done in the will of God will be remembered, and I hope you're working on having a lot of your life remembered in the new heaven, when the former things are passed away. Okay, let's pray. Our Father, bless